All right, the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning of verse 7, all the way through 11, this lists some of the gifts here for us. So it says in verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So we start by looking at the gift of the word of wisdom. And you'll notice that as we move to the next gift, which is the word of knowledge, that both of them have the word as kind of the driving description of what these gifts are. It is a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge, which means that these gifts are speaking gifts or gifts that are spoken to others. So we looked at the word of wisdom, and when we think about wisdom, the Bible is full of exhortations to wisdom. I mean, we can look at the book of Proverbs, and just every verse almost is you're either wise or you're a fool. Be wise, don't be a fool, that kind of a thing. And then all through Scripture, we have exhortations to wisdom. Even in James, it says, if you lack wisdom, ask him, and he will give it to you if you ask in faith. So wisdom is something that we are to have as believers. Now, what is wisdom? Wisdom is taking the truth of God and applying it to the circumstances of life. And in that respect, we are all supposed to have a measure of wisdom. We are all supposed to take the word of God. We are all supposed to be sensitive to the moving of the Spirit. And we are to take his truth and apply to the different situations in life. Sometimes it's really easy to make that application. Sometimes it is not so easy to make that application. And so while we are all supposed to have some idea of wisdom or some practice of wisdom in our lives, there are those who are gifted with wisdom, a word of wisdom. And these people are the ones who, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, are able to take God's truth, maybe, I don't know if this is the best way to say it, maybe a little bit more effectively than the rest of us. They can take the truths of God's word, and they have this special ability through the ministry of the Holy Spirit to make application of it to our lives. And these are good people to be able to go to if you need direction and help and discernment in making one choice over another. And so we appreciate those who have this gift of the word of wisdom. It can be practiced on an individual basis. You can go up to somebody and just have a conversation with them, and they'll just share what they think with you. Or it can be as part of messages or part of teaching lessons or in any context in which there is speaking from one person to another. You can have this application of wisdom where the word of God is taken and put to use with respect to our lives. So that's the gift of the word of wisdom. Any questions before we go on to the next one? Gary?
A lot of times, using wisdom is just like somebody else talking, you look.
Yes, that's right. Somebody else is talking and you just listen and glean from what they are saying to you. And by the way, sometimes, now I've expressed maybe the normal natural use or the more common use that we might experience this gift of wisdom. But sometimes there is a supernatural aspect to this in which somebody just, God reveals to them something about your particular situation and they share it with you. So that would be a supernatural act of a word of wisdom, and that can happen as well. So you have a more supernatural, God speaks to someone and he reveals it or she reveals it, as opposed to the normal practice, which we would see in abundance of just being able to take the word of God and apply it to our lives. Now, I was kind of thinking about this earlier today. I was like, how can you give examples of someone who has practiced the word of wisdom? And you know, that's kind of tricky. You know, it's kind of hard to know or to be able to identify. Well, you know, I talked to this person at this particular time, and they just used the gift of wisdom when they talked back to me. And it's hard to think of specific examples like that. And I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe because it can be so common and so natural for us as we're talking to one another and led by the Spirit that we can, you know, experience this or be on the receiving end of it. But I thought that was kind of interesting that I couldn't really pin down or nail down an example of that. Curtis and then Gary. Yeah, right. Yeah, part of wisdom is discernment. Yeah. Well, there's going to be, as we talked about before, and you're right. There's overlap in all of these things: discernment and knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and it's kind of hard for us in English since there's really an overlap of all of these things, and that's going to be true, but. I think if we look at Scripture, we're specifically talking about taking something, the truth, and applying it. There's the application of the truth in some way. And that's going to involve the when and where and the how, and all of these things are going to be component parts of it. So yeah, you're right. Now, when we talk about discernment, there's going to be a gift, the discernment of spirits, and that's going to be a little bit different. But again, there's a discernment is involved. And even in the application of wisdom, you can have the discerning of somebody and where they're coming from. And again, even there's overlap. Gary?
The one example of wisdom spoken that I can think of that comes right out of me is in Proverbs, where it says, "Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom."
Yeah.
That immediately came to my mind.
Yeah. Yeah,
the Lord is a good place to start.
That's right. It's a great place to start. And actually, the whole Scripture is a word of wisdom. Here it is. Yeah. You know, you can just, we can read all of 1 Corinthians. We looked at examples of where he uses the word wisdom in his explanation to the Corinthians. So what Paul is doing is he is taking the truth of God and he is writing it down and sending it to the Corinthians so that they can read it and make application of things that they need to stop doing and things they need to start doing, and things they need to change and sin they need to repent of. And all of these things are applications of wisdom. And so we have a word of wisdom right here when we're thinking about the Word of God. So it's Proverbs and it's Corinthians and it's Matthew and it's every book of the Bible. We have the wisdom of God available to us. So, you know, again, that just makes it easy for us, right? Pick up the Word of God and look for the passages that are applicable to what you're going through and what you're facing and the decisions that you are dealing with. And there you have it, you know, the Book of Wisdom for us. All right, good. Any other thoughts or comments? Curtis, and then Court? Yeah.
And everything that we've been going through.
Yeah.
Allow us to understand how to follow.
Right.
How to apply it.
Right? Yeah.
Even as an actor.
Absolutely, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just the dynamic is just so great. Court?
Did you say you have the gift of wisdom?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, you know, in my wonderful high moments, I'd like to think I have a whole lot of the gifts, you know, but that's just my pride coming through, and I have to wait to see how other people might respond. In other words, you know, it's like I'm just doing the best that I can, you know, and I don't know what's coming out of my mouth, and I'm often, you know, just kind of stumbling over my words and stuff. So, you know, if there's any wisdom that comes from me, it's all because of God. It's not because of me, but yeah.
What I've noticed with you is like when you just happen to know that people need talking to.
Okay.
Sometimes you make it so simple, like, oh, wow. And then other times you can go into more depth, and a lot of depth.
Okay.
But this ability to make it like, and that's what I think wisdom is like.
Right.
I can't sit and listen to it. I missed the first five words. But you can do something really incredibly simple explanation, and you can just build on that. You go far. And so I would say you have a pretty, I think you have a real big gift of wisdom that you can.
All right. Well, thank you, Court. Now I'm really feeling good about myself. Right.
I see that from you.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you for the encouragement. All right. Any other comments on the gift of wisdom here, the word of wisdom?
Well, Proverbs tells us that a word fitly spoken is like golden pictures of self.
Yeah.
So if you know what to say and how to say it, depending on what you're talking.
And you know, I think the reason I've gone to such great length to explain the easiness of it, you know, is because there are some corners of Christianity which make the word of wisdom some, way up here, unattainable kind of thing that only, you know, a privileged few can access, and that's really just not it. This is the life of the church, and we have the scriptures, and we have the Spirit of God, and we have the ability to apply it to our lives. And so whenever you're facing a decision or you have something in your life that you're kind of this way or that way, the Lord is the first place to go to. Get on your knees and pray and ask Him for wisdom. Open the scriptures. I can't tell you how many times just in my own devotions that by prayer and then I have a devotion and then there's some direction that comes, it's just such a fitting, you know, it's like just at the perfect time and it's just so fitting and appropriate and whoa, you know, thank you, Lord, for just kind of bringing it all together. That's we all have that. So get to it. Seek the wisdom of God. Get on your knees and pray. Open the Word of God and you'll see how He begins to reveal things to you. All right, let's go on to the word of knowledge here. And this is, again, a word, and this time knowledge. And when we think about knowledge, I hate to use this word, but we're talking about data, information. We're talking about the nuts and bolts, the building blocks of truth. And so this is knowledge. And when we have the word of knowledge, somebody who is the people who are closer to having the teaching gift are usually, or a lot of times, teaching the truth or the knowledge or the nuts and bolts. And so the word of knowledge. Now, there's an interesting connection with some of these gifts. So if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6, it says, "But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless..." Now, notice the things that it puts together here. "Unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching." So you have the gift of speaking in tongues on the one hand, which isn't very profitable unless there is a revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or teaching. And so you have these four things listed, these four gifts listed, which are speaking gifts, in a way that is understandable, and there is a benefit to that. There is a benefit to receiving revelation and knowledge and hearing a prophecy or teaching. There is benefit to that. But notice how knowledge, which you wouldn't normally think of as a speaking gift, is put into with this group of revelation, prophesying, and teaching. So the point is this, that knowledge here is not just knowing, it is the knowledge spoken. It is the truth spoken. It is the nuts and bolts spoken, as is revelation, prophesying, and teaching. They kind of are put in the same group here. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 in our Bibles. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. I was in Zambia, and I was had the opportunity to preach at their Sunday morning service. And so I enlisted the help of one of the college students. So I got him a pan, you know, like you cook, and a spoon So when I got to this passage, I started to read, and I told him, I said, every time I say about four words, just start smacking the pan. And so I started speaking, and he'd start smacking the pan, and I'd stop. And then he'd stop. And then I'd start speaking again, and he'd start smacking the pan again, and I'd have to stop because it was loud. And so on, this kind of went on for a few minutes, and I was just making an illustration of this passage here. So it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Now this passage is really impactful because it has a list of some pretty incredible things here, right? Jesus said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you could say unto this mountain what? Yeah, you know, be uprooted and thrown into the sea. And so we read that in Jesus and we think, oh, if I just had the faith the size of a mustard seed, oh, how wonderful that would be. And if I could understand all mysteries, oh, how great that would be. And if I had all knowledge, and if I had all faith to move mountains, how great would that be? But there's one thing that we should aspire to and that we can live out and practice in our lives above all things. And that thing is love. That is to be the number one. That is better than having the faith to move a mountain. Believe it or not. Love. So love is very important. We talk about it so much, but putting it into practice is so challenging, especially when we're hurt or offended or upset or tired. The whole host of things just kind of drains us and drains our love. But that's the number one thing to aspire to. But the point here is, notice it says, if I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and all faith and so on. So again, it's taking knowledge, this word of knowledge, and putting it together with prophecy and knowing mysteries and that kind of thing. Curtis? Okay. All right. So love is an amazing thing to be sought out after. Knowledge is grouped again together with prophecy and knowledge and, with the mysteries and faith and all of these things. So, now, again, as with wisdom, there is a component of knowledge that we are all to have. It's not like some know it and others, the rest of us just like are, you know, empty-headed. We have nothing up there. We might feel like that sometimes, but, you know, that's just not how we have some knowledge of all kinds of things in life. And we have knowledge of the truths of God. We have enough knowledge, at least, so that we became what? Christians. We became Christians. We became saved. So what are some of the basic things, the basic truths of the faith that we understand, that we have knowledge of, that has led us to our salvation or forms the building block of our salvation? Tyson? Just one or two things. The what? All right, God is a moral absolute. Absolute. That's morality is not relative. All right, good.
It's a totally a free gift. You can't do anything.
Yeah, it's by the grace of God. You can't earn it. Good. That is an important part of our salvation. What else? What other truths are important? What else is important for us to know in order to be saved? We're sinners. Yes. That's an important piece of knowledge there. What else is important?
That we actually serve a good and Savior, not somebody who's out of the book. He's actually here.
Okay, a personal risen Savior. Good. He loves us, yes. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. What else? We're forgetting some of the foundational things.
But you have to believe.
He gave His life for our sins, yes.
You have to believe.
You have to have faith.
He's the only way.
He's the only way.
Confess
your sins. He died on the cross. He took He took our sins. He took our sins upon him. That's why he gives forgiveness, because he died and he rose again from the dead. All of these are important parts of the gospel. And we should really kind of sort them out. I mean, we know all of these things as I mentioned them, but it's really good for us to kind of, in our own minds, just sort them out and have them ready to share. I've been talking about sharing the gospel with others, and I'm hoping that we can have some kind of training or something in the future on how do I share my faith with somebody else. And there are two principal ways that we can do this. First of all, we share the facts. Jesus came, he took our sins upon him on the cross, he died for our sins, he rose again from the dead, which is absolutely necessary. Without a resurrection, we do not have the forgiveness of sins. He rose again from the dead. He shed his blood. I skipped that. See, I have to get it sorted out in my own head. He shed his blood. He bore our sins. He died, paid the penalty, rose again from the dead. And whoever believes in him has the forgiveness of sins. Sharing those truths. And, you know, you don't have to have, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. But those are the basic building blocks. That's number one. The second thing is taking those, but focusing on, well, this is how I was before Jesus. This is how I came to Jesus. And this is how my life has been different after Jesus. And he can do the same thing for you. And that talks about the transformation of life. The freedom that comes from having your sins forgiven and your guilt removed. The joy that comes from having a hope now. If I die, should I perish from this earth, from this earthly body, I have the hope of eternal life. I will go to be with him and live with him forever. So those are two key ways in which we can share the truth. But we're taking the truth, the things that are important, and we're speaking them. And in a sense, we can all do that. We should all do that. Curtis? Yes. Yeah. 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 It's interesting that you know, just as with wisdom, speaking the knowledge of the truth of God is really just multifaceted, you know. And for one, you might say one thing to one person, and then for another person you might say something else. And that's, again, you have discernment and you have just understanding where they're, what their life is like and where they're coming from, and just taking all of this and then being able to share the truths that are appropriate. There's a danger of, if you've been in the church for a long time, you can begin to use the church words, right? The big words, or the words that the rest of the world who hasn't been in church might not know, like? What?
Propitiation.
Propitiation. No, we still don't know what that word means, right? Even repentance, you know, it's such a common word that, you know, if we throw it out there, somebody that has not been exposed to it might, like, repentance.
What?
Oh, well, yeah, don't get me started on that. Our culture has taken sin out of the vocabulary these days. It's like, yeah. Yeah, so the point is that, you know, sometimes we can just kind of rattle off all of these
churchy words,
these big words. They don't have to be big or long necessarily, but just words that have a special context within the church meeting and the church family. But out there, if you start using them, you might end up confusing them rather than helping them to understand, you know, their need for Jesus. So, you know, again, discernment is necessary, and you just have to understand who you're talking to and what their background is and everything. Tyson?
You can start a conversation that way, though, by asking somebody, in my old job, hey, are you saved? And he goes, what do you mean?
Yeah. Right.
So he opens the door for you to tell him what it means.
Right. Oh, yeah, you could do that, too. Right. Sure. If he cares.
You know? Well, you could ask someone if they're a Christian.
Yeah.
Say yes.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, that's another point, is that, you know, people might have a different definition or understanding of what a word means than what... Yeah, that's not uncommon. It really isn't uncommon to have that kind of a response. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people take confirmation in the church and salvation. And it's very hard talking to people where confirmation, everything is based on that.
Yeah, yeah. Are you talking about a Catholic church, or are you talking
Catholic,
true. You know, you have people, masses of people who practice the religion, the major stepping stones of the religion, but it just really has no impact on life, and they really might not have an understanding. So, yeah, we have to... This is where knowledge comes in. We're speaking the knowledge, the truth of the Word to these people, and it's important for us. So, let's look at 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 and 5. It says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and knowledge. So here this talks about an enrichment that comes to us through the spoken word and through knowledge. And this is a treasure of being a Christian, this knowledge of God. Because it's not just facts about God, it's the truth that is applicable to all of creation and all of life. We don't follow this faith because it makes the most sense, or it's the most popular of all of the world religions, or, you know, none of those things. We follow this because we're talking about a real person, not a philosophy, and we're talking about the truth that is applicable to every corner of life. After all, he created everything, and he created us, and he put it all together. And so this is not one religion among many's. This is the only one and true faith. And there is only, I think Alan said it, Jesus is the only way.
Yeah.
There is no other way. Gary?
Well, what I've found when I do go soul winning is you run into a lot of people. They start out, well, you know, I'm not religious, or I hate religion. I said, you know what? I said the people that crucified Jesus were religious people. I said what I had is a relationship with the risen Savior,
yeah,
not based on any particular building. And then that gets someone to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, religion is such a loaded word in our world today. But we're talking about a personal, and I like that, we're talking about a personal relationship with a God, the living God. And that makes all the difference right there. So what does knowledge mean? Well, it is not necessarily coming to the realization that the moon is really made of cheese and the sun is styrofoam. You know, it's not that necessarily, although the miraculous gift of knowledge might be the revelation that so-and-so has cancer and you need to pray for them. That is the revelation of a specific piece of knowledge that affects someone. And so we would be talking about a supernatural revelation of those kinds of things. So there is that supernatural element, but there is also, just like with wisdom, the common use of knowledge where we understand you know, the truths of the faith. So let's look at some passages of Scripture real quickly here. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Now I picked up on a phrase in 1 Corinthians, and I'm just going to kind of repeat it for us, and you'll get the idea of what's happening here. So it says, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Do you not know? Now, here is the expression of a truth that is important for us to know. A little sin will turn the whole thing rotten. Right? And so this is an exhortation to us that don't mess around with sin. Don't even let a little bit come through the door. Because if you're letting a little bit come through the door, it works in you like it does, like leaven does in bread. It begins to grow and fester and spread, and it will impact your entire life. Do you not know this? That's what Paul is saying. So this is the revelation of a piece of important truth that we must take to heart in our Christian life. Okay? Here's another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 9. By the way, some of us wonder, and we pray, Lord, why am I not a stronger Christian than I am? I've been in the church for all these years. How come I'm not further along in my faith? Why do I waver and falter so easily and quickly? And it could be that there's little bits of sin in your life that you have allowed to remain there that have just kind of dulled you from being able to grow spiritually. That could be. So anyway, all right. Let's go on to the next one here. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites will inherit the kingdom of God. So, again, now for Corinth, this was particularly important because what was happening in Corinth, you had all, Corinth was just kind of a metropolis of, you know, foreign affairs. You know, you had people from all over the world going through Corinth. And as you can imagine, you had, you know, the mythology and the religions of the day just kind of gathering there among all of the diversity of people. And so people were hearing the gospel and they were coming to Christianity. And you know what they were doing? They were bringing with them all of their their idols and their ideas and their philosophies and their elements of their other religion. They're just kind of bringing it with them. And so some of them, so let's say you, as part of your religion, you love to go to the temple and there was this big orgy and gluttonous feast that was going on, and that was just really a good day, you know, to, you really enjoyed that. So you come to become a Christian, and you think, well, you know, that, I believe in God, but, you know, this was just a whole lot of fun. I just won't worship the gods this time. I'm just going to enjoy all of the party. And so they're engaging in some of these things, and Paul has to correct them. Don't you know, you can't act like this and be a Christian and go to heaven. You have to turn away from these worldly sinful things and start following God. So anyway, do you not know? That's the revelation of the truth, or the speaking of the truth to these Corinthians about this practice in their lives, or these practices that they needed to stay away from. Do you not know? All right, let's see. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And here's another one that's important. 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 15 says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? And there are a lot of truths coming up right here. Do you not know? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who's joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So do you see what's happening here? Let me read the next verse too. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. And then he goes on to explain that. But here it is. Do you not know these things? So Paul is speaking these not this, these bits of knowledge, these truths in their lives. Let's look at a, let's look at some more. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So here's an important truth that we must know. Let's go on to the next verse, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So I'm kind of blazing through these verses, but each of them, these are important. Do you not know these things? We need to know these things. 1 Corinthians 3:20. Just to shift gears a little bit. The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Talking about the wise of the world. The Lord knows their thoughts, and they are futile, because they don't have Him. Matthew chapter 12, verse 24. Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." But Jesus, look at this. Now this would be a revelation of knowledge here. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand." Don't be surprised if you're talking to somebody who is not, you know, who's not saved. Don't be surprised if you're talking to them and the Lord just kind of slips in something about them into your head and you can speak it. This is what's happening here with Jesus. It's a possibility. It is a possibility. And if nothing else, we can know a whole lot about people just because we know what the Bible says about how people are. It's revealed to us, and we can take that knowledge and we can make use of it when we speak with them and share with them the gospel, or when we speak with one another. Because look, we don't know everything, and we still face things in our lives where we're still wondering, well, I wonder what the Bible says about that. I wonder what I'm supposed to do here. What does God want me to do? Have you ever had those kinds of questions? I mean, that goes back to the wisdom thing, but it's also, you know, there could be this little bit of knowledge that we're missing, that if we had that, then we'd be able to make a better decision or make a better choice or whatever. So this the knowledge of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge the angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Now look at this thing here. This is like huge. We are going to stand and judge the world and judge the angels. And he's basically saying, come on, folks, take some of this and use it in your little, smallest matters. We need to be smarter than we are. Now, by smarter, I mean more knowledgeable of the truths of God. So, come on, guys, let's step it up. We got lots of time on our hands. I was reading a book. I don't even remember which one. It wasn't a Christian book, but it was about time management He was going through all the things, all the wasteful moments in our days. So he was, and he's given example after example. He says, if you just take all of these little moments here and there and you put them together, you'd have a significant block of time in order to learn a new career if you wanted to, while doing your current job and taking care of your family. It was pretty incredible what he was saying. I don't know how practical it was, because we need downtime, but the point is true, I think, if not to the fullest extent that he was talking about, we have enough time to do something new if we wanted to. A little bit every day goes a long way. Joseph, my son, we went to a conference. This was years ago. He bought a book which is about this thick. I said, Joseph, when are you going to read that book? This is a little bit later. He says, I've been reading 10 pages a day. Just 10 pages a day. He says, I'm 3/4 of the way through that book. That's all. You know, just a little bit every day. If you just keep on chipping away, you just keep knocking at it, you can do a whole lot more. So anyway, I'll let you figure that out for your life. But here's the encouragement to us. We stand in a position as Christians having been saved from our sins, we stand in a position where we are going to stand and judge the big and important things. So right now, in this life, let us do the best that we can and grow so that we can manage the smaller matters that we have to deal with moment by moment. All right. I'll stop right here. Any thoughts as we wrap it up? Any questions, comments? All right, knowledge. So let's grow in our knowledge. There's actually, I'll finish with that verse. Let me see if I can find it real fast. It says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's 1 Peter chapter 1. I probably won't be able to find it now. Anyway, 1 Peter chapter 1 somewhere. Let us grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. Oh, it's at the end of 2 Peter, not at the beginning of 1 Peter. Okay, I'm dyslexic. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So there's just an exhortation that comes to us to grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. So let's be faithful with that. All right, let's pray and we'll be done. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening and thank you for the freedom that we have to study your word. I pray that we would take its truths, that we would speak it in our lives to one another, that we would use it to live for you and to make better choices. We just ask for your help and your grace and your guidance by your Spirit. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you.